This is a recording of Providence Road Church of Christ in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Now, Mr. Pitts. It's a rather unfortunate name. Mr. Pitts, where are you? Mr. Pitts, will you open your hymnal to page 542? Read the first stanza of the poem you find there.
Did the virgins to make much of time?
Yes, that's the one. Somewhat appropriate, isn't it?
Gather ye rosebuds while ye may, old time is still a-flying. And this same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying.
Thank you, Mr. Pitts. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The Latin term for that sentiment is carpe diem. Now, who knows what that means?
Carpe diem. That's seize the day.
Very good, Mr.
Meeks.
Meeks. Another unusual name. Seize the day. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may.
Film about a teacher at a little English school who tries to get some young men to understand a simple principle. Seize the day. Well, there's a biblical version of that, and that's what we started with on New Year's Day. It goes like this. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days. All right, we better put it on the screen so you can say it with me. Here we go. Psalm 90 and verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to recognize that our days are numbered, not so that we can run around saying, oh my goodness, I'm going to die in only X number of days, but rather so that I can fully live. For those of you who missed us on New Year's Day, we started with a walk through an old cemetery and a tombstone that was probably pretty typical. Mr. Brown's tombstone looks like this. There's the year that he was born on the left, and on the right, of course, the year that he passed away, and then that little mark right in the middle. We call the dash. And we said last week that when it comes to that dash, there's two or three truths that we need to know. You just get one of them. You don't get two. You get one chance to say, God, thank you for what you've given me. How can I live it to the fullest? The dash is shorter than it seems. Can I get a oh yeah on that? It can go by just like that. In fact, I was reminded this morning when Tom Gronstall gave me a note from his mother-in-law, who sent this note saying, please forgive me, church, if I failed to thank all of you for the prayers and visits and food you prepared when Jim, my husband, was sick and passed away. It's been a very difficult year for me, especially during the past holidays. I don't know if I told you how much your prayers meant to me. I couldn't have made it through the difficult time if not for Sherry and Tom and all of your prayers. That's from Gail Knight. Last year, on December 10th, Gail's husband went home to be with God. I don't know that anybody's fully prepared for that. But it's very different when you stop and instead of thinking about a mother, a father, a grandmother, or even a spouse, but think, God, am I prepared? Am I ready to say that if I only had 30 days to live, I could die with no regrets? Not a sermon series about dying, but about how to live is where we're at. Now, I texted a few folks that question last week, most of whom were either here, but some in different parts of the country, and just shot them a text and said, okay, if you really had 30 days to live, seriously, what would you do? Well, the first text that shot back was, quit my job now. Seriously, that was one of the first ones that came back. And I get the feeling they may have been at work when they sent that message to me. Somebody else sent back one that said, man, I really don't know. A friend of mine in California sent one to me that said, I would take my wife and we would go to Alaska. Why Alaska? I don't know. But they just said, that's what I would do if I had 30 days. I loved a couple of them that sent back a note that said, I would love God and love others. Now, that's not a bad plan. Can I get a oh yeah? In fact, somebody sent one back and said, I just keep doing what I've been doing. Loving. And maybe that's the best answer of all. You see, when we think about the end of our life, When we think about living a life with no regrets, what catches us is if there are things that we know we ought to be doing, but we ain't. If there's stuff we ought to be about, but we haven't been, that's the thing that pulls me up short and says, wow, man, if I only had 30 days left, I'd sure want to be talking to my kids more, sitting down with my spouse more, spending more time with God in prayer. If you were to die this week, would you have any regrets? I got to say, that's a tough one for me to answer. But remember, all of this comes out of Moses saying, number your days. Look at your hands. Count them up. How much you got? So that God can teach you to have a heart of wisdom. Now, there's a book that's inspired much of this thinking in me. It's actually called 30 Days to Live. And the couple that wrote it, if you get a chance to read it, it's great, great stuff. Download it on your Kindle or Sony or whatever you're reading on these days. But as they wrote this book, they began to come up with more questions to amplify on this one. Let me show you two more of them. Are there things in your life that you know you need to do, but you've been putting off till you get around to it? We call that the someday syndrome. When are you going to lose that weight? Well, I'm going to do it. Everybody say it. Someday. When are you going to clean up that garage? When are you going to order that thing? When are you going to get that relationship with your cousin straightened out? Well, I'm going to do it. When are you going to do it? Someday. When are you going to get that exercise schedule going? When are you and your wife going to decide, all right, we're going to have a date night every week? There's some ladies here saying, oh, please, Lord, take me now. This is it. Everybody say the word. Someday. And there are others saying, you know what, I've got that exercise schedule going. Praise God for that. And you know, we do have a date night once a week. That's awesome. And I do take time to pray with my kids and sit down. Wonderful. Here's one more question. Do you feel that you're not living fully the more and better life that Jesus Christ longs to give you? Now, that one drew me up short. That more and better life. Sometimes we just don't get it until it's, well, sadly, too late. I have to laugh at the story of the young boy who walks into the candy shop and says to the owner, hey, I want three boxes of candy. I need a 1-pound box and a 3-pound box, and then I need a 10-pound box of chocolates. And the candy store owner says, my goodness gracious, you've given gifts to a lot of friends? He says, no, they're all for one girl. He said, well, she must be a very special girl. He says, well, we'll see. He said, what do you mean, we'll see? He said, well, we're going to have our first big date tonight. You know, and if she's, you know, just not really much to be with, then I'll give her the 1-pound box. But if she gives me a pretty good goodnight kiss, then I'm going to give her the 3-pound box. And boy, if it's really a hot date, she's going to get that 10-pound box of candy at the end of the date. Well, the store owner smiled. The boy took him and went. Got all gussied up, went over to his girlfriend's house, rang the doorbell. The door opened and the mom answered and said, come on in, come on in. She'll be ready in just a minute. The father was in the living room, and as the girl came downstairs, the dad said, well, listen, you guys have a great night. And the boy said, well, why don't I say a prayer before we go? Mom and dad looked at one another, and he bowed his head. And I mean, that boy prayed a beautiful prayer. By the time the prayer was over and he said amen, the mom wiped her eyes. The girl was stunned. They walked out the front door. The boy turned around and shook the father's hand and said, I'll take good care of her. They walked down the front steps, and the girl said, wow, I never knew that you could pray like that. He said, well, I never knew your dad owned a candy store. There are bits of information that come to us too late. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? And here's the problem. It's going to be too late when the doctor says, I'm sorry, you've only got a month. I'm sorry, you've only got a week. Or maybe you don't even get that notice. So the question is, how do you live your life so fully that you live with no regrets? Well, I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles for if you've been around this church a long time, it's a very familiar passage. Mark chapter 12. And go ahead and open up to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 29 through 31. Saw a little sign on a card the other day that I liked because it has to do with what we're going to talk about today. What is it about a person's life that is that bubbly, wonderful essence that you say, man, that's what I want in my life. Well, there's a word for it. The word is passion. Passion. I saw this card that said, passion is the spice of life. And it hit me that in the message, the verse that we've quoted so often, somebody asked the Lord, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, you should love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can I show you something? It's in the message version of it, but here's the way Eugene Peterson translates that line. Listen, Israel, the Lord your God is one. So love the Lord your God with all your... Can everybody say these four words with me? Passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Don't you love that? Love God with all your passion. Try saying that with me. Love God with all your... Yeah, we're getting there. Some of you, passion, it's a tough thing to express. Let's try it one more time. Love God with all your... Passion. What do you think passion is? Is passion volume? Is passion energy? Is passion letting it all hang out? When I say the word a passionate person, who do you think of? Don't point, or actually maybe do point if you want to do that. That's okay. Is it a fan sitting in the stands or standing in the stands screaming at the top of their lungs? Is it a passionate person who's working so on a project? Joel Robinson and some of the guys, I love this. Friday night down here with the folks at Family Promise, they came down and made models with the kids. Now, I think that's a wonderful, cool thing that they did. At the same time, if you've ever worked with Joel Robinson on a project... Joel is passionate about it. I'm hoping he cut these kids a little bit of slack, because Joel doesn't just kind of, you know, do something a little bit. Some of you remember the first time we did Bethlehem and Beyond here, and I asked Joel, I said, Joel, when the angels appear, could we get a little puff of smoke? We nearly had angels with the angels, if you know what I'm saying. I love Joel because whatever he's into, man, he is passionate about it. You talk to my buddy Gary Hickson about design, let me tell you, he is passionate about it. In fact, as I look around the room, I can think of things, the different ones of you. If I bring up Alabama football or Florida football, if I bring up Ohio State, if I bring up Duke with certain people, let me tell you, they're going to light up with, everybody say the word, passion. Now here's the shocker. The word at its root means to suffer. Isn't that strange? It means to suffer. So when the scripture, when we talk about, say, Easter's coming here in just a few months, and we talk about the passion of Christ, we're not talking about Jesus on the stands going, woohoo! We're talking about Jesus saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to suffer. Now think about passionate people. Passionate person will stay up all night long working on something that has meaning to them. A passionate fan will stand in the rain waiting to get in, and then stand in the rain at the game. A passionate person will show up at, can't say Blockbuster anymore, but wherever you get your video games, and stand in line at midnight to get a new video game release, and then take it home and play it all night if their parents don't catch them. Why do they do that? A passionate golfer. Oh yeah, let's go. Can we? Surely we can squeeze in nine holes. But it's raining. It's okay. I want to do it. A passionate parent will stay up all night long nursing a little babe who's not feeling good. What does it mean? How would you like to live a life with no regrets? Here's a simple suggestion. Decide that passion is the price of life, not the spice of life. And that if I want to live a life of no regrets, I've got to wrap my arms around the truth that God called on me to live with passion. Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Now that's a great line, but he warns us that the thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you can have real and eternal life, more and better life than you've ever dreamed of. Again, from the message, I just love that transliteration. And more than you've ever dreamed of. All right, here's your assignment for this week. You ready? What would happen if you lived each day this week with one word burned in your mind. I want to be passionate about my life. You get up in the morning and you greet your spouse. Instead of, my back hurts. Or I'm in the bathroom before you. Whatever it is at your house, all right? What if you greeted them with a passionate, man, I am so thankful for you. You know, we say often the most negative things with the most passion and the most positive things with the least passion. Does that happen at your house? I mean, you know what I mean? If you get mad about something, you get passionate, don't you? What in the world? Why is there is no milk here. This is empty. What is an empty thing doing in the refrigerator? Where did all that passion come from over an empty carton of milk? Where did all that passion come from over what are these clothes doing on the ground? Try this. If you've got something negative to say it with a minimum of emotion. And if you've got something positive to say it with a maximum of emotion. Okay, is everybody hearing what I'm talking about here? You want to live with no regrets? Next time you want to chew somebody out, just take it down 6 notches. I don't know still if it's registering. So at the risk, come here, Spencer, just for a sec. I'm afraid as a father, it is awfully easy for me to get passionate when you were supposed to be in at 10 o'clock and it was 10. You look at me. Don't you look at me with that look. Everybody, you all know what I'm talking about, right? And man, we give this passionate speech. And then I send him off to bed. All right. Love you. Go to bed. Right? Come here, Spence. What I really need to do is I need to be passionate about the things that matter. Can I get an oh yeah from you? We need to passionately express to others the stuff that matters. So what I'm going to say is, I noticed that you were late on your curfew, so you're on restriction for the rest of the year. Now, I love you, and I'm so thankful for you, and I want you to know that. Look at me. I want you to know that. Now go sit down. Would you run over there? Oh, he can't. He is so excited about college right now. Just, Lord, take me. Any other church, just take me. What would happen if you decided that you are going to unleash the passion that God has inside of you and not let the thief steal it? Not let him take it away. But instead, you were going to be willing to express the love, loving God with all your passion, and then loving your neighbors, loving your family, letting that out. I promise you, you will lower the regret in your life if you will passionately care about the people around you. Amen? Now, understand that there's more to this than just, well, this is just a, you know, jacked up emotional moment. Not at all. I want you to hear this. Jesus was able to be what I believe the most passionate person in the world. How did he do it? It's not on the screen, but turn over to John 13. Let me just show you one quick thing before I shift gears here. John chapter 13. Jesus' last night on the earth, he is preparing his disciples with a moment of great passion. He's going to wash their feet. He's going to get, I mean, you talk about expressing it. He's not just going to say, I really appreciate you. I want you to be a servant. He's going to roll up his sleeves and the king of the universe, the creator of the known world, is going to get down there and wash the dirty feet of these men. I thought to myself, man, how do you get that passionate attitude for living and serving? And then it hit me. Here it is. Verse 13, I'm going to begin about in verse 1. Pardon me, chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew, everybody say the word knew. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and to go to the Father. Jesus, everybody say knew. Knew that the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. He says, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus' expression of passionate love, of passionate living, was based on what he knew. Jesus knew he'd come from the Father. Do you? Do you know you belong to God? That he loves you and is looking forward to an eternity with you? Do you know he created you? Do you know that he has plans for you? Do you know that? When you know that deep down inside, then all of the junk, all of the mess that comes at me, that rips away my passion and gets me to put my passion in the wrong place, allows me to say, no. I can treat you the way I want to because I know who my God is, and I know how He loves me. And by the way, Jesus knew where He was going. He knew He'd come from God, and He knew He was going back to God. How about you? Do you know that? If you died this week, would you be confident of that? Passion, when it is lived out, will leave us with no regrets. Because I got to say what I wanted to say. Every day. I got to live the way I wanted to live. And maybe I'm not always passionately on a cruise in Alaska. Or passionately, you know, living out my dream of whatever yours is. Playing on the best golf course or driving with a Richard Petty driving experience. Had somebody say, man, I'd always want to do that. I encourage you, take a risk. Look for the place, but let's be passionate in those everyday choices of hugging that spouse, of praying to our God. I do love our shepherds here because I do believe that they understand and seek to live out that passion. In fact, we're going to shift gears and share some things about 2012 with you for a moment. There's a piece on our website. If you go to our website and punch the button and it says... video, and then there's one button that just says Elder's Message. Let me show you just a momentary clip that's from the Elder's Message back in November of 2010 when they passionately challenged this church. Weber, if you would.
In order to reach more people for Christ and build true biblical community, this eldership has pledged to become more outwardly focused. We want to be the greatest gift of all, salvation through Christ, to as many people as we possibly can. We intend to model this new focus with our words, our actions, and our decisions as an eldership. We will ask each of you to do the same. This means that we must begin to see everything through one lens, making a real difference for Christ, an eternal difference. Our hope and prayer is that everyone at PR will want to take as many people to heaven with you as possible. It will take every member doing their part for us to become what God is calling us to be. The path forward may not always be smooth and easy, but we trust God. Thank you for your confidence in us. But even more, thank you for your confidence in God. We ask for your partnership and your prayers as we join together on this exciting journey with Him.
Would you stand together with me and let's say our scripture for this month one more time? And can I ask you to say it passionately? Would this be good practice? Okay? Go ahead and lean over the person next to you and say, be passionate. Just say, here we go. All right. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This morning, the wisest thing you could do if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus is to say, Jesus, I'm yours. Can I get a passionate amen?
Amen.
This morning, if you are hurting, the best place to bring your hurts is to the God who loves you so. Can I get a passionate? Oh, yeah. This morning, if you are here and you don't have the readiness to meet Jesus today. Don't say someday, say today. If you're not ready, then we would love to help you be ready to live that week, month, year. What's God going to give us? We don't know. To number our days and live passionately with no regrets. And this morning, as always, that front row is open. While we sing together, if you're in need, won't you come?